Hey everyone, I'm Blair O'Neill with the Golf Channel, and you're listening to Southern Fairways Radio, hosted by Randy Bergen. Now, let's have some fun with Southern Fairways Radio.
Good morning. Good Saturday morning, and welcome to Southern Fairway Sports Radio Show, where we do things just a little different, and we can't figure out what that is. We really can't.
No.
Do you?
I can't figure it out.
But we are broadcasting live today. Maybe Sheila can tell us.
I'm sure she can.
She can tell us what's different.
Somebody's got to keep us straight. Absolutely. And she does a great job.
She does a great job of that. We are broadcasting live today from our Srixon studios located in Lower Alabama. And, of course, today's show is presented by McConnell Automotive, located just east of I-65 on Dolphin Street in Mobile. Or check them out online at McConnellAutomotive.com. Now, I want to mention our sponsors because wouldn't be here without these folks. McConnell Automotive, Srixon Golf, Boudreaux's Cajun Grill, Glen Lakes Golf Club in Foley, Alabama, and our good buddy, you know, David does such a wonderful job at Glen Lakes and is always so accommodating to groups. And David Musial is just one of the finest directors of golf that we know of, and love working with David Musial. Eastern Shore Toyota and Hyundai, Boom's Thai Kitchen, and the PSR Radio Network. Mark Laster, we're doing double duty today.
A little double duty work today.
If you're looking for Randy, go as far as you can go to the west. Just don't get into the Pacific Ocean, but he's on the edge of the Pacific Ocean hitting a golf ball. And he's doing phenomenal from what we've heard. So we're excited that he is on that trip with his cousin Vinny. And there's no telling what all is going on that trip. Cousin Vinny.
Isn't really that a movie?
It is. But it's not really his cousin now. I'm just throwing that out there. Because
you.
I love Vinny. Vinny's a great guy. And
Cousin Vinny.
Yeah, he's a good guy. And so, Mark, how much soccer have you watched this week? Tell me the truth.
None.
Steve, put the microphone on. How much have you watched? You're laughing at Mark for that. How much have you watched, Steve?
I was laughing because I'm seeing the same thing. I didn't watch it. I didn't watch any highlights. I was watching some Wimbledon up here, but that's about it.
Well, now that's something we're going to talk about, Wimbledon, here in just a minute. But
now my athletic director is probably going to chastise me.
Well, he can't cut your salary.
Yeah, they can. But Coach Ferguson was a professional soccer player in England. I think that's correct, before he came to America. And I think they went and watched.
They went to Auburn. They went to watch Messi.
Pre-tournament game.
Yeah.
And then they went to Atlanta, he and his son Ty, and watched. When they see it, they can appreciate everything. When I watch it, it's just like people kicking a ball, and I get some of it. I understand high school ball. Soccer more than I do the professional. I don't get it.
I tried to watch the Morocco-Canadian game because it was so hyped. But like you.
You mentioned Morocco. We're dealing with the transfer portal and all of that in high school sports now.
Mm-hmm.
There is not a single player on Morocco's team that is from Morocco.
How do they
do
that?
Not one. So, I don't know. Hmm. But
just an American thing.
It's just you got to be from Morocco to play for the Moroccans. You cannot be. That's not fair.
Doesn't seem fair. But I don't know. Today they got Norway's playing England.
Yep.
Argentina plays Switzerland.
Yeah, well,
those are games on today.
Well, isn't Argentina, aren't they the – that's Messi's team, right?
Aren't they the favorite?
Yeah, and whenever Messi wants to score, he scores is what I understand. I don't understand it either. I don't.
He's got foot.
Yeah.
They are very talented, that team is. From what I understand, they're very talented.
Yeah.
In the meantime, in a sport that we do kind of understand, Wimbledon had one of the greatest matches – between a Canadian, and I can't pronounce his name, in the semifinals, Alex Agassi against against
I have no idea.
I
can't help you.
I can tell you. I want to say DeJorte, but I'm tongue-tied. But anyway, the guy that's won 7 Wimbledons, why can't I remember his name? I can guarantee you some of my tennis people are Novak DeJorte. Come on, Steve. Novak.
Niskova.
No.
Niskova.
No.
No?
No. That's the women's. That's no, women's really draw.
See, that's how much I know.
Novak.
Boy, we're going to get in so much trouble.
Well, we are, but that's okay. I mean, but anyway, it was a great semi. 5 hours and like 21 minutes. 5 hours. 21 minutes in the semifinals. And then a young guy who played number one for Stanford, a boy named Ever. Grew up 2 miles from the Wimbledon courts. His father is a billionaire. His mother is a former professional tennis player. He was in the semifinals, and all of Britain was pulling for him, of course.
Djokovic,
yeah. Novak Djokovic.
Djokovic, the D is silent.
Yeah. And this young British player was playing and he's in the finals now. Now, that was a quarterfinal match, the 5.5 hour. He played Sinner yesterday in the semifinals, and Sinner won that semifinal match. And Sinner will play, I didn't do my homework for this, and I should. But anyway, the finals are tomorrow, and the women are playing right now. And Coco Gauff got beat in the semifinals yesterday, and I was kind of pulling for Coco.
It's actually Sinner versus Djokovic and Zverev versus Sarri, looks like.
You're a day behind, Steve.
Am I?
That's the semifinals or something. Sinner is in the finals now.
Okay.
And he plays a big, tall cup of tea, like 6'5", 6'6". He's a huge guy. And he's a German. And
Zverev?
Yeah, that is him. The V is silent.
Yeah.
Zverev. There you go.
Yeah.
That's right.
Yeah.
But anyway, that's going to be a tremendous final tomorrow with Sinner. And Sinner's got a little injury going with him. But that's going to be a big-time final in the morning. I think at 10 o'clock our time, the ladies' final is on right now. And by the way, if you are a tennis fan, you want to be at the Mobile Tennis Center the next 4 weeks. They're going to have national-ranked tennis players coming in to play in national tournaments in the next couple of weeks. And, boy, Scott and Lorraine Novak do a phenomenal job there running tennis tournaments. And we'll talk to Danny Cordy about that a little later on. Yeah, man, you're talking about great junior tennis. Watching some of these kids play is going to be outstanding. We're looking forward to that as well. 47 days, Mark, before your Alabama Crimson Tide toe meets leather. And I think the first game of the season, Alabama goes to what? I think East Carolina comes to Alabama, right?
I think so.
Who's going to be the quarterback?
No idea. That is the best kept secret in America right now. If I'm the coach, I'm looking at it like this. You got Austin Mack, the guy who came out early. All right, I think he reclassified.
He did.
All right, while he was at Washington, spent the year there, and then came with Coach DeBoer to Alabama, sat behind Milrow and Simpson, whoever he had to sit by. And then now it's up to him to take this job, I think. I think it's his job to lose. I think he's the next in line. But I think Keelan Russell is going to take it. I think he is really good. Now, the question I got for you is, they got a kid from Nebraska named Jeff Thamela.
Yeah.
Who's a 5-star quarterback.
Right.
Tremendous football player.
He won't be there next year.
But I'm saying, he's top notch.
Yeah.
They've got, I think there's 9 quarterbacks either on campus or committed. to play at Alabama. I don't know how that's going to fall
out. And they've got, I think, the top-rated quarterback coming in this year, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, Elijah Haven.
Elijah Haven.
And then they've got Trent Seaborn from Thompson.
Yeah.
And they just signed the kid from Benjamin Russell yesterday.
No, they didn't sign him.
He committed. He committed. He's a 2028 kid.
Who came from Montgomery Catholic.
Yeah. I think.
To Benjamin Russell. Well, they're getting a lot of transfers in.
Yeah.
They are. I don't know why.
Well, the coach came from
Montgomery Catholic. Yeah.
And he knew all. He'd been there for forever.
And if they're making bona fide moves, that's fine.
That's right.
If they're doing that, that's fine. If they're not, then need to be something.
I'm looking forward to the season, though. It's going to be a lot of fun to watch.
Me too. When we come back, we'll talk a little bit more about college football. And then at the bottom of the hour, we're going to talk to Danny Cordy, the executive director of the Mobile Sports Authority, and talk about the Happy Dozen, see how he feels about that. Coming later. When is it coming? I don't even know the dates on that. We'll try to find that.
Hello from beautiful Lake Tahoe. This is Brett Baer with Fox News Channel for your up-to-date golf and sports information news. Please continue to listen to Southern Fairways Radio Show with your host, Randy Bergen, and sweet-swinging Bobby Hall. Have a blessed day. Keep it fair, balanced, and unafraid. And by the way, Roll Tide and War Eagle.
Roll Tide and War Eagle. Wow. You know, the PGA Tour, try to keep up with this as much as I can. They're playing the Genesis Scottish Open this weekend at the Renaissance Club in North Berwick, Scotland. And that's a pretty fine layout, Mark. Next time you go to Scotland, you want to make sure your clubs beat you there, and then you're there to play. That's a layout that you would love to play. Chris Goddard is the defending champion. And as a matter of fact, Goddard won last week on the PGA Tour. And then, you know, they had like 47 guys that were playing in the Travelers Tournament. The Travelers Insurance Company chartered a plane, and when the tournament was over there, they flew those 47 players to Scotland. That's pretty cool.
It is.
Pretty nice, a nice deal there. Goddard won that tournament, and he's a defending champion at the Genesis Scottish Open. So they're playing that right now, and I'll try to get the where we are as far as that goes. We're also playing in Louisville, Kentucky, the ISCO Championship.
And didn't I see where Scheffler didn't make the cut at that tournament? Was that the tournament he was playing in? Didn't make the cut.
No, remember Scheffler not making a cut. That's just me. You could be right about that. Right now, Jay Smith is leading the Scottish Open. Kim is at 9-under, both of those two. Rory McIlroy is also tied at 9-under. Matt Fitzpatrick is at 8-under. So that's going to be fun to watch today, as we can watch that on television, and Wimbledon will be over most of the day. For the women's finals, you'll get to see a lot of doubles and stuff like that. Let's go back and talk a little bit about college football, Mark. This is something that really bothers me as a high school coach, as a former high school coach. They're going to start playing college football on Friday night, and this has been something that lots and lots of people have objected to. A lot of the college guys have objected to it. But ESPN runs college football as far as when they're going to play. Or I think they do. I think they play a major role in telling schools, you know, we can put you on Friday night and you can make X amount of dollars, or we can not put you on. But how do you feel about college football being played on Friday night?
I don't think it should be something that they make a habit of doing. I know that there are sometimes they play on Thursdays.
They do.
All right, and they play on some Tuesday or Wednesday nights. It's usually not the Power Five group. It's usually one of the other subdivisions.
Yeah.
But Friday nights, I see that as a conflict of interest to me for the college team itself. The high school kids are all playing ball games. Right. Why would they play a game on a night where they can't be seen? But that's all. It's all money direct, money driven by ESPN and whoever their affiliates are. That's how that's driven. I don't like it because I think that, you know, most high school coaches, we'd love to watch college football on Saturday, you know, whoever it may be. And when they play games on Friday night, we know we're not going to see them. And that's kind of, to me, it's kind of irritating. I don't like things like if it's a high school Friday night football game, in the South especially, you know, other parts of the country don't see high school sports like we do, and right. In my opinion.
Yeah.
I don't think, especially high school football. I remember as a kid, you know, we played our high school games on Saturday afternoon at 1 o'clock. Can you believe that?
Really?
Yeah. Our stadium had no lights. And we were a decent high school team, but we played our games on Saturday afternoon at 1 o'clock or 2 o'clock in the afternoon. So it was kind of crazy back then about how we had to play the games.
All right, we got a segment here that I think a lot of golfers would enjoy. So we're going to go and ask Adam.
If you have a question about anything golf-related, including golf balls, then it's time to ask Adam with Bridgestone Golf's Adam Rayberg, brought to you by Cherokee Ridge Golf Course.
All right, we've got Bridgestone's Adam Rayberg with us. And, Adam, it's time to answer some of these questions that the listeners have turned in. Here is one from Dale W. I've been playing the Titleist AVX. If I wanted to change to the Bridgestone golf ball, which one do you think I should use?
Well, Dale, that's a great question, and we will encourage you to give ours a try. The two golf balls that I would say that you kind of fall in, the AVX is a soft core compression design golf ball from Titleist, which is very similar to what we launched back in 2008 when we launched the B330 RX. The RX was really the first golf ball that was a soft core compression, but also gave you the benefits of spinning control around the green. So we kind of created that category. Some others have followed us in, and AVX is one of those entries. So I would encourage you to look at the RX, which is in the red packaging, or the RXS, which is in the green. And the main differences between those two, they're both built for, you know, tour performance, you know, kind of maximize, you know, that spin and control. But the RX, the red version, is built for a little bit more distance, does feature a urethane cover, so you're going to get good spin around the green. But then the RXS, which is in the green packaging, really offers a lot more spin. It's a really good spin model in that soft core category. So you're still going to get those huge benefits of a soft core off the tee to where you're going to kind of minimize spin off the tee, kind of keep that ball flying straighter, launch it very high. But with that urethane reactive IQ cover design, you're going to get good spin and control. So the RX for a little bit more distance, or the RXS for more spin and control.
Wow, that was a great question, Dale. All right, and great answer, Adam, as well. All right, here's our final question of the day. And this comes from Mandy G. She says, I am a 43-year-old lady and have been playing golf pretty much all of my life. I am a 12 handicap, and I'm not the longest or shortest player in our group. I use Callaway clubs and play their ball most of the time. Can you make a recommendation for a Bridgestone golf ball and why? And that comes from Mandy G.
Well, Mandy sounds like a pretty good player. So I would definitely kind of move this person into the Tour B category. You know, they probably want that spin and control around the greens to kind of fire those, you know, being a 12 handicap. So I would recommend the RX. The RX is designed to kind of have that great spin and control around the green, but it is a very balanced ball when it comes to distance off the tee versus control with your irons and control with your wedges. So the RX is going to give you probably a little bump off the tee. It's a very long golf ball off the tee, you know, good ball speed, launch is high, spin is low off the tee. So you're going to get that like penetrating flight that, you know, the ball's going to run out. You're not going to hit those ones where it spins a bunch and kind of hits the fairway and stops. But then it does feature a three-piece design, which has that reactive IQ cover. So you're going to get good spin and control around the green. So the RX and the red packaging would be the one that I would definitely suggest her to give a try.
Man, that is great. That is great. All good questions today. And as always, Adam, you did a great job in answering those. And, folks, we would encourage you, if you have an opportunity, Check out the Bridgestone golf ball, whether it's the RX, the RXS, or any of the new golf balls by Bridgestone. And, of course, Ask Adam is brought to you by Cherokee Ridge. Adam, thanks again, brother, and we look forward to having you back on here real soon.
Yeah, Randy, appreciate it. Keep those questions coming in, and go pick up your golf balls at Cherokee Ridge.
There you go. Absolutely good stuff. And remember, if you have a question, you can email me, randy@southernfairwaysgolf.com.
Come and experience the difference at Cherokee Ridge. Experience the championship golf, the tour-style events, the handshake barbershop, the community, the taste, and the style. Come and experience the difference at Cherokee Ridge.
Hi, it's Brian Baumgartner from NBC's The Office. Don't miss out on the Southern Fairways Golf Tour event. For more information about our tour, visit southernfairwaysgolf.com/tour. Tour memberships are available.
Are available. So if you want to join the tour, Mark, you need to jump on board real quick.
You know, I thought about doing that, and then I thought against it after I had some back problems. Other than that, I could have probably got on there.
I will say this, Mark. You were right on about Scottie Scheffler missing the cut. We got a text from Sheila that said he did miss the cut at the Scottish Open. You were right on that.
What do you know?
That's a good one.
After we got almost 2.5 hours, and I got one thing right today. That's the way I love it, man. That's kind of like me playing golf. You know, you go out there and play golf for hours, okay? Normally, I'm hitting the ball in the woods, in the water, everywhere it's not supposed to go. But then you hit that one shot, okay? And you go, boy, that's a thing of beauty. I'll be back next week. You know, and you go, why? Why do you subject yourself to 2-4 hours of just total, you know, humiliation? You humiliate yourself playing. But you hit that one shot that lasts maybe 15 seconds after it rolls and you stand and admire it for a while. And you go, yeah, I'll be back. I'll come hit me one more of those. But then I got another 102 shots that, like, God. I probably should have left those at home.
102 shots.
Hey, I remember I broke 100. I thought I had won $1 million. It took forever for me to get. But I started playing when I was 40 something, and
that's okay.
I finally broke 100. I think I was 54.
But, Mark, what you have done is you have hired you an outstanding golfer as your assistant.
Oh, man. We hired a guy, Norton Arant, a Troy graduate, Troy golfer.
Yeah.
And he's related to my good friend Joe Norton. And his boys, Joe's boys, Reed and Wills, played for me when I was coaching football when they came through at Bayside. And Norton has come in and just been a breath of fresh air in our program. The kids love him. He does a great job. He can actually show them a good swing.
He can play.
They watch me and they go, ooh, coach. Ooh, coach, it went straight. Norton's done a really good job, though. We're really glad to have him.
I'd like to see you and Phil on the golf course together.
Laz?
Yeah, I'd love to see you.
It would be a hoot.
That would be a fun match to watch.
It would be fun.
That would be fun. Then you could throw Savarese in there.
That'd be three of us.
That'd be Coach Savarese and Mark and Phil. That'd be a great threesome. And then we could probably put Steve on there, and that'd be a foursome. It would be something to watch. Hey, when we return, we're going to talk to Danny Corbin.
Can we get any short people in that group?
The executive director of the Mobile Sports Authority. Boy, this is going places we never thought it would go. But we're looking forward to talking to Danny, talking about things going on around Mobile, and especially talking about what the Happy Dozen. That'll be fun, too. Right here on the Southern Fairways Radio Show.
Hey, get her done. You know who this is? This is Larry the Cable Guy. And you know who you're listening to? That's right. Randy Bergen on Southern Fairways Radio Show.
All right, welcome back to the Southern Fairway Sports Radio Show. And we appreciate our sponsors, McConnell Automotive, Strixon Golf, Boudreaux's Cajun Grill, Glen Lakes Golf Club in Foley, Alabama, Eastern Shore Toyota and Hyundai, Boom's Thai Kitchen, and the PSR Radio Network. And we want to welcome the executive director of the Mobile Sports Authority and a former broadcaster himself.
Yes, sir.
I'm telling you, this was a guy that he could tell you everything about the New Orleans Saints. And the Saints that patrol Bourbon Street. I mean, those guys that did that show were phenomenal covering the Saints, and loved it, enjoyed it. And we welcome Danny Cordy in with us this morning. Good morning, Danny.
Good morning, Coach. I appreciate the nice comments.
Well, I mean, Danny, you were a star. I mean, everybody in Baldwin County listened to you.
I appreciate you. It's sort of a labor of love, and as a Saints fan, and you probably know it, it was a lot more more angst than anything.
That's okay, Danny. Danny, we're going
to – It was a lot of fun, though. Thank you for saying that.
Well, you did a great job with it, and it was always something that we enjoyed listening to because – You know, I'm thinking even maybe Roman Harper. Was Roman Harper on the Saints during those days?
Yes, he was. I did it for 18 years, and I think my last year was 2015. So okay. Did it for 18 years.
Good
yes,
gracious.
Roman was there the whole time.
Wow, that's something. I want to talk about a lot of things going on, but right now, for the next 4 to 5 weeks, we got a lot of tennis going on in Mobile, Danny. And the job that Scott Novak and Lorraine do there is recognized nationally. And I know they're right. Great people to work for. But talk just a little bit about bringing all these tennis tournaments to Mobile.
Well, I wish I could take some credit, but I'm in a very much a support role to Scott and Lorraine, as you mentioned. Scott, with his contacts over the years, I remember we used to, back in the late 90s, I traveled with Scott to some of the USTA conventions and conferences
right.
Where we would go bid on these. And really, from there, he's grown it himself. And I talk to Scott every probably 4 to 6 weeks just to make sure that he has the support that he needs. And obviously, the results speak for themselves. And I can't say enough about the great job those guys do out there to bring those in. And it goes back to an idea that if you build the facilities with where we are in Mobile, with our climate, with everything else, we in some ways we're a sleeping giant with a lot of sports. And tennis
right.
is just an example that if you have that facility, one of the largest in the U.S., and you have the contacts, have the right people in place like Scott and Lorraine, boy, the results just roll in.
Well, it takes great leadership to facilitate all the needs that you have, and you certainly do that. And I notice sometime in the next week we're going to have the Dolphin Street Vault. Now, you better not try to get down Dolphin Street on that day, Mark.
No.
That is one of the more unique events. Drew Bentley, Thomas Folks, Mac Bogner, I don't know, 11 years ago maybe? 12? No, heck, longer than that. Back in 2011, 2012, approached us about, hey, let's set up some pole vaulting pits and pole vault down Dolphin Street. Yeah, I think we all thought they were crazy.
Yeah.
But a lot of times, as you see, a lot of the things that you think are crazy work. And it's really been a successful event. They've grown it. They've grown the attendance. They've grown the quality of the athletes, starting anywhere from I think I saw a 7-year-old pole vault a few years ago.
Good gracious! Wow!
So it's an all day deal. It's just one of those uniquely Mobile events that we have, and we're proud to be associated with it from the beginning. But again, Drew Bentley, Thomas Folks, and those guys really do a great job. And I think Peggy Olive helps out with them sometimes,
yeah.
Some too. And just a fun event.
Well, Pat Galley loves it. Pat Galley loves to be on Dolphin Street watching those kids pole vault because he can sit in a nearby place and enjoy it. And
that's right. And he doesn't have to coach anymore. He
no
can
more.
Just enjoy.
That's right. You know, Danny, I got a question here, and somebody just texted me, said, ask Mr. Cordy about an LPGA tournament again. Where are we with that?
Rick, years ago, it's probably been, I don't know, about a dozen years ago, we were approached to bring an LPGA event back. But there wasn't really, I guess, the desire, because if you remember when we had the LPGA Champions event, I think there was a $300,000 commitment from the city, another $100,000 or so from the county. I mean, it's a pretty strong financial commitment. Now, of course, Dr. Bronner with with all the RTJ trail courses. I mean, he helped us obviously secure that, and obviously it was on the Golf Channel, so we've got some good exposure, but it sort of played itself out. And now what's happened, and you could probably attest to it more than me, you don't know a lot of these women that are on the golf course, where we had Annika Sordenstam, yeah, and a lot of those kind that people could relate to. Most of these golfers are foreign that we in the U.S. really don't know them.
That's a good point. Yeah.
And so it sort of, like I said, ran its course when a lot of the older golfers that we knew and recognized retired.
Yeah.
And so they're just with other things we're trying to do, I guess, bringing those kind of events in, that just kind of, I guess that kind of fell down the priority list. Still on the list, but it's just down the list.
You know, Danny, as we get moving on, it's been good to hear your voice, but it's been a long time since I've had a chance to chat with you. But I wanted to ask
you, Mark.
I wanted to ask you about, you know, we're one of the big things that we've got coming up this coming fall and winter will be the state championships, the football state championships.
The Happy Dozen.
Yeah. First of all, do they have a name for that? We've been talking about it for a couple hours.
Yeah, I heard you guys talking earlier. The Happy Dozen. I hadn't heard that name. But and you guys know it. The official name is the AHSAA Football State Championships. And I've been on Brent Bedsole and Heath Harmon say, guys, we got to come up with something better. I know we had the Super 7 before.
Right.
Then they said, well, let's call it the Super 8. But then you've got a hotel named Super 8. You got the Super 8 movie. You got Kodak. So you couldn't do that. Then you call it the Super 12. What they wanted to do, from what they told me, they wanted to get away from a number because that number may change again at some point in the future. I mean, we came up with names like the Gridiron Classic, the Super Series, but I still think it's a work in progress. I don't think that the football state championships will be the final name. It may be for this year because we're kind of running out of time. But somebody, we'll come up with something, and you know, all suggestions are welcome, believe me. So, that's where we are with it.
Let's talk a little bit about this, and we're going to hold you over for another segment. You know how that goes, Danny.
No problem.
You're very familiar with that kind of stuff. What was the biggest thing that you had to overcome to get the state championships to Mobile?
Honestly, Rick, and I think you and I have talked about it privately, and I'm just going to be straight honest.
Good.
The politics of high school athletics in Alabama.
Yep.
As you well know, the member two-thirds of the member schools in Alabama, I believe, are Shelby County North, I believe.
Right. That's right.
So, and the fact that we're down here in the South and it's a long way from, say, Huntsville to Mobile, that's why you had Alabama, Auburn, Birmingham, centrally located, always hosting their largest event. But when Alabama and Auburn fell out, it opened up an opportunity for us. And under the past director, Alvin Briggs, we brought him down here for the North-South All-Star football game. Then we got back in the rotation for the Alabama-Mississippi All-Star football game because I wanted them to get used to coming to Hancock-Whitney, working with the staff, working with us, at least at some capacity. So then when Alvin retired and they hired Heath, we started that process all over again. So, and the good thing about it is Coach Harmon he was very open about, hey, let's look at all possibilities. He wasn't closed to the fact, even though, of course, he is out of Oxford, Alabama. He wanted to do what was best for the AHSAA. So we talked, we worked. We had him down here again with the Alabama, Mississippi, and the North-South All-Star football games for a year or two, so he get used to working with us. And it just – we put together a package that knowing that some teams would complain about going from Huntsville to Mobile or even Birmingham to Mobile down, we put in our bid some things to answer some of that. But also – it was sort of I guess it was just a fortuitous, and believe me, I want to give him credit too. Terry Curtis being the president of the Central Board the last 2 years
right.
was a big deal for us
yep.
too.
Yep.
Coach Savarese, who past director, also advised me, and he was very instrumental in guiding us and how we would bid and approach, and it was just a work of about 5 years to get them to look at us down here, and when the vote came to put us in the rotation, it was unanimous. So, you know, we were real proud of that, and we are really looking forward to hosting. It's going to be a blast.
It is that. I mean, I was so thrilled to hear that we had, you know, Mobile and you guys have been able to make that happen, because I think we have a lot to showcase. And to me, showcasing Mobile is a great venue. It's a great venue, first of all, at South Alabama. Hancock Whitney is a great stadium. And then the city of Mobile has so much to offer all of these folks coming in. Did that have a big play in it, just the history of Mobile, the history of athletics in Mobile, and then, like you said, letting them know what had already been happening here?
Well, you would hope it did, Mark, but when it came right down to it, we had to answer a lot of the concerns of the teams in the North coming all the way to the South.
Right.
And also it came down to a financial commitment. I mean, let's just be honest. Some of that is a financial commitment.
Yeah, right.
But we estimate that there could be 40,000 to 50,000 people coming down here in
yes.
the first week in December that would make it could potentially be the largest sporting event ever held in South Alabama.
Well,
and let me mention this before anything
yeah.
else that I didn't mention. I got to give Joel Erdman, you know, past AD Joel Erdman and his whole staff, Daniel McCarthy and all those guys out there, credit too, because they have to make it work too, because you guys have been to Birmingham. I mean, Protective Stadium is a much larger facility than Hancock Whitney. So we've had to figure out ways to I guess, where we're going to put coaches, volunteers, corporate sponsors, all that, in a much smaller area, and they have been great to work with, and looking forward to working with Daniel McCarthy and his crew going forward. But I had to mention that before anything else,
All right, Danny, when we return, I want to talk about some of the logistics of the stadium, some of the things that you've had to not overcome, just to work within to get it to where you and the state were happy with the stadium, which there's so many positive things about it. What were the drawbacks? We talked about dressing rooms at one time, but talk about the drawbacks and how we've reached a mutual agreement on those things. When we return
sure.
with Danny Cordy, the Executive Director of the Mobile Sports Authority, right here on the Southern Fairway Sports Radio Show.
Hi, this is David Musial, PGA Professional and General Manager at Glen Lakes Golf Club. Looking for a great course at a great value? Give us a call for tee times at 251-955-1220. Glen Lakes Golf Club.
All right, welcome back to the Southern Fairway Sports Radio Show. And we're visiting with Danny Cordy, the Executive Director of the Mobile Sports Authority. And we were talking off the air. Mobile, back in 2011, there could not have been a better hire than Danny Cordy, Mark.
I agree.
Just a grand slam, slam dunk, touchdown, home run, whatever you want to call it. But Danny, you are tailor-made to represent not only Mobile, but the state of Alabama and everything that you do, and thank you for what you do, and we don't give you enough credit for that, because we just expect the best from you, and that's exactly what you give to Mobile.
Well, I appreciate you guys saying that. I'm just one person in the team, but I'm going to hire you guys as my PR team. You guys come cheaply?
I'm real cheap,
we're
man.
We're real cheap, Danny. especially when Mark retires, he'll know what cheap is. So that's right.
I appreciate those kind words.
Well,
I love what we do.
Well, and I think there's even bigger and better things coming. I do. I think what this is going to show, and through television, through what Vince Early and those guys do, the whole state is going to see Mobile, and it's going to be a production that they hadn't seen before. I mean, it's going to be outstanding.
And that's what we hope. We have a lot to offer. This Hancock Whitney obviously is a new stadium, and I think as we were talking about before, we did have a few concerns we had to get past with the stadium though.
Well, in talking about that, I don't want to call those deficiencies because I don't think there are deficiencies at Hancock Whitney, but I may be wrong because I think it's perfect for South Alabama football. But there obviously had to be some things that you either added or took away or whatever you had to do to satisfy the needs of a state championship week. Talk a little bit about that.
Well, you're right, Rick, and I don't want to call them deficiencies either. They were just concerns, and they were challenges we had to get past. The main thing, and we've talked about it before, was the fact we only had two locker rooms. And all the other stadiums, they had four locker rooms, but that was also a three-day event. So when we originally bid on it, it was a three-day event. It was going to be, we could do it, but it was going to be, we're going to have a lot of challenges. So then we bid asking them, let's go to a four-day event where we could spread that out.
Right.
And that's the bid that was accepted, that we were going to 4 days when it was accepted back in January of last year. Then, of course, with all the split and everything, as you well know, we're going to 5 days, which really helps us logistically with the locker rooms, the space for the coaches. We know where that's going to be. We've got a volunteer tent that we're going to have. It's the other big thing was also in those other stadiums, there were a lot of suites for sale or for rent for the different schools, for cities. We don't have that. We have 11 suites at Hancock Whitney. So we're going to use the Hargrove Club, which is the club level for our corporate partner area. So, and you've been in there. It's a very large area. So I think we're going to be able to answer that issue right there. But the locker rooms were really the number one thing. But once we went to 4 and now 5 days, took that out of the equation. We've already met several times. We're going to continue to meet. We have Zoom calls. We have in-person meetings about how this is going to work. Now, let's face it, until we do it one time, we won't know where all the left turns are.
Right.
And once we get that down for 2026, of course, we're in the rotation for 2028 too. And you hope what mistakes and what you learned, good and bad, of what goes on this December will correct and make it even better for 2028.
What can the high schools and our coaching staffs, what can we do to help get this thing, run as well as we can run it, put the word out and do PR for this? What can we do to help your organization, Danny?
I mean, you said it. I mean, let's spread the word. There's still a lot of people that don't know how big an event this is going to be. And number two, that it's the first time ever in the 105-year existence of the AHSAA that we're going to have a major championship played in Mobile. We've had bowling. We've had tennis. We've had golf, which are great. But we've never had, and I consider volleyball, soccer, basketball, baseball, and football, say, your five major sports.
Mm-hmm.
And this is the first time we've ever had a major sports, AHSAA major sports championship played in Mobile. And that's something to be proud of. Now, I am working with, I guess Brad Lowell has moved on. I've been working with Lev Holly at the Mobile County Public School System possibly for some volunteers and support through that way. And of course, I'm still talking to Coach Curtis, saw him yesterday at lunch, had a talk with him and with his new position, I think on the Senior Bowl with the partnership, I think that can help. I mean, there's just a lot of moving parts that we're still kind of pulling all together, Mark and Rick, and anything positive that can be said about what's going to go on, that helps. And again, if somebody wants to volunteer, we'll put them to work somehow, some way. Just just, you know, call us at the Mobile Sports Authority office, email us, just whatever, however you want to get a hold of us and say, hey, I want to help. And we're figuring it out now through our operations team at South Alabama now.
That's pretty cool. Being involved in the broadcast, both TV and radio, for the last 20 years, one way or the other, and we have changed something with the AHSAA now, as far as teams that broadcast games via the radio, and they are their, you know, they are their team broadcast. Do we have enough room to meet the needs? It should be fine, because we're doing it over 5 days, and we're playing. How many games a day are we playing?
Well, the flag, we play about 4 games on Tuesday, then it goes 2-2, 2-2 rest of the week.
Well, that's perfect. And but are there enough facilities on Press Row to handle TV, radio, and the home teams or the visiting teams, radio teams?
That's a good question. The short answer to your question is I believe so. I mean, Hancock Whitney's press box is not as large as Protective Stadium, not as large, obviously, as Alabama or Auburn Stadium. But that was not when, of course, when Ron Ingram was up there, he came and looked. It didn't seem to be a big challenge for them. Now, we might get in there, and all of a sudden we have 150 press people or media people that want to get in there, and there's just not room.
But
from what I remember at Protective Stadium, I think we're going to be fine. Now, all I can say is it's being planned for, and let's hope we're good with it.
Well, my not advice, but this is what's going to happen. Let's say that Thompson and Butler of Huntsville, let's say they're playing in a state championship game. Then you have the AHSAA radio network, you have the TV network, and then you have the Thompson radio crew, and you have the Butler radio crew. That's what you're going to have to facilitate with what the AHSAA has done now. And it's what it is. It's two more radio booths,
right?
Because now if you've broadcasted them all year and you are their broadcast team, you can broadcast their state championship game. That's new. And I don't even know if that.
And you're right, and I might have missed one of those, not thinking about one of the radio teams. But again, with it, we've met, we've talked some logistics, we've talked media, and that was not really a concern. So
good.
I believe we're going to have room. It
good.
May not be their own radio booth, but we'll have room for that. But I appreciate you bringing that up, because that's not something that again has been a big concern, at least from what they've told us. But it's going to be a concern if they show up and they don't have any place to broadcast from.
Right.
So
and
I appreciate you bringing that up.
And that is new. It's new now, because the two teams that are playing in the state championship game, it used to just be the AHSAA radio network out of Ellic City.
Right.
And it was Vince and his crew. But now there's two additional ones if they have a – broadcast team that's been broadcasting for them all year long.
Right.
So that's
well, I appreciate you bringing that up. I did not know, like I said, I was about one radio team short. So I will bring that up.
Hopefully Ron Ingram will still be helping out. I'm hoping that he still stays.
Ron's not. He'll be right there in the back.
Yeah, he will. <No worries. laughs> You better believe it.
He got to keep his hand in it.
Danny, we've also got in September, we've got the Port City Football Classic.
Yes, sir. The Port City Classic is the HBCU game that this will be the fourth game. It's usually been in November. So this year we've tried something different. Fort Valley State is playing Tuskegee. We've tried something different. We moved it to Labor Day Saturday to move it up into the scheduled, and hopefully we'll see if that spurs some better attendance. So, that's a good event for us, too. Looking forward to that.
Danny, thank you so much for taking time out of it. Hey, you don't get many off days, pal. I hope today is an off day for you.
Neither do you guys. Anytime, Rick and Mark. Love talking to you guys.
Thank you, buddy. Good to hear from you, man.
God bless. That's Danny Cordy, and he's the best there is at what he does. Yeah, he can tell you that. Hey, thank you for being a part of the Southern Sports Radio Show today. We're not Randy Bergen, and we're just two old retired, almost retired coaches, and we appreciate it. We appreciate you being a part of it. Remember this, no matter what you do, no matter where you go, he is always with you. God bless you. Steve Stanley, the best in the business. Mark Laster, Rick Cleveland, we're gone. We'll see you maybe here next week, or if Randy doesn't fire us, we'll see.